They acted craftily. By the way, this is written for our instruction. There is one who acts craftily. He shows up on the second page of the Bible. He's more crafty than any other creature. They acted craftily, and they wore worn out and patched sandals on their feet and worn out clothes on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and had become crumbled. They had an elaborate disguise. There is one who disguises himself.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our study of the life of Joshua. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, The Stratagem of Gibeon. I invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Even as we sing, Yahweh, your name is holy. May we have ears to hear your holy word right now. We pray in the name above every other name, the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm not going to have you turn in your Bible. I just want you to listen. You know, we just left off in Joshua with that massive, responsive reading where the whole nation heard the whole word of the Lord in that great amphitheater between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And Joshua wrote it on a wall. He read it, and everybody listened. And so right now, just listen. I'm going to read I'm not going to read the whole law, but I'm going to read portions, because remember, we're in the life of Joshua. If you're new with us, we're just looking at Joshua's life. And the context is that it's just in the shadow of Moses and the word of the Lord that God gave through Moses. He dies and he passes the baton to Joshua, and they're doing what Moses had said to do, the Lord had said to do through Moses, going into the land. And these are all, you know, the Lord speaking. I mean, right through Moses. It's Moses, but it's Yahweh. Behold, I'm going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, since my name is in him. But if you will truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. I'll completely destroy them. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion all the people among whom you come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets ahead of you, that they may drive out the Hittites, the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites before you. I will not drive them out before you in a single year, that the land may not become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. By the way, did you realize that? He said, I'll go at slow enough pace so that you guys will have a chance to be ready to occupy. And God has his purposes in his timing. I'll drive them out before you little by little, until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. I will fix your boundary from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness to the river Euphrates. And I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you will drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them or with their gods. They shall not live in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Be sure to observe what I'm commanding you this day. Behold, I'm going to drive out the Amorite before you, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Watch yourself that you make no covenant with them. Make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going, lest it become a snare in your midst. He said that, by the way, early on, back in Exodus. Then when he's reiterating all this 40 years later, just yesterday, so to speak, in Joshua's day, when the Lord your God, this is Deuteronomy, when the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you are entering to possess it, and shall clear away many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you, when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, and you shall defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. You can be seated. And you can turn to Joshua 9. Where Joshua makes a covenant with them. The Bible never papers over the flaws of the best of men. The best of men are men at best. Joshua's been seeing the Lord do exactly what he said he'd do. I'll give it to you. It's your land. I promised it hundreds of years ago to Abraham and his descendants. It's yours. I've given them 400 years to repent. They've filled up the cup of their iniquity, and God is God, and he rules in the affairs of men and nations, and he says, I want them out. I want them cleared out, cleaned out, make no covenant with them. So they come across the Jordan, the West Bank, Jericho, Ai, they learn something, I hope. I hope we learn. Joshua's on his face before the Lord before they take Ai. And then they go on to some other victories and the wall of inscription, you know, and what we saw last week. Right in the heart of the land, right in the middle of the what we call the promised land, Mount Ebal on the north, Mount Gerizim on the south, right in the middle, Shechem, where God first appeared to Abraham. And now the law of the land is not only written and inscribed on a rock wall that they plastered and inscribed it on, but it was read, all of it. I said, whether they inscribed the whole thing or not, people debate, but they read it all. Joshua read every word of it. And everybody listened, men, women, and children. That's the setting. And by the way, what they read and what he'd told them to read in Deuteronomy 27, we saw that the apostle quotes right from that. And the law is meant to be a tutor to drive us to Christ. And Christ redeems us from the curse of the law. He became a curse for us. So there's so much there for us. But that's where we left off. Chapter 9, now it came about when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country and in the lowland and on all the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite, you're getting used to these ites, I hope. You're reading the Bible, you know. And the Hivite and the Jebusite, when they heard of it, they gathered themselves together with one accord to fight with Joshua and with Israel. When they heard of what? Well, I don't think you can miss it. When they heard of everything God was doing, they already knew about the Red Sea. They'd heard. Rahab tells us that. But now they heard of Jericho, the fortress city, Ai. When they heard of it, but I don't think it's merely that they heard of those things. Right in context here, and the Bible puts it side by side, when they heard of it, heard of what? The reading of the law. There's a new law in the land now. These people are devoted to this word, and they say, and he says, you shall have no other God before me. I mean, everybody heard. The newsmen were saying, we could hear it echo through the valleys. That whole congregation was saying amen. They would read it across the amphitheater. We heard. And when they heard of it, verse 2, they gathered themselves together with one accord to fight it. To fight with this general Joshua and with this Israel that claims to have the one and only true God. Mark it. When God's word is written, read, proclaimed, broadcast, when God's word goes forth, it either produces submission or it provokes rebellion. Always. Still today. Today in this room, when God's word is being proclaimed, it will produce submission. And submission to God's word is the place of blessing. And it will provoke, I can't believe he said that. I don't agree with that. It will provoke rebellion. Now, there's subcategories in those responses, don't get me wrong. But I say there's basically those two. Subcategories in submission. When the word is sown, Jesus said, it'll produce fruit. 30, 60, 100-fold. What's the difference? Well, there's a variety of things that, levels of submission, you might say. Why are some Christians more fruitful than others? And of course, in rebellion, it's not that everybody stomps out of a church service when they hear the word of God, or when you talk to somebody that they just spit in your face. Some do. I mean, I've never been spit at in the face, but I know they spit at Jesus' face. But you can rebel against God's word by merely saying, "Don't talk to me about that. That's nice for you." Just ignore it. Just be sure and turn the dial quick when you hit that Christian music or the word of God being proclaimed. Just get it. And so Americans all over the place, in your neighborhood, mine, and maybe you, you've just avoided the word. That's one form of, rebellion. Or you can scoff at it. You don't actually believe that he put all those, let's just read it metaphorically. He didn't put all those animals on a boat and on it goes. There's many ways to, but anyway, subcategories in those two categories. But notice here, these Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Canaanites, they were, by the way, often at odds with one another. They had walled cities for a reason. They'd fight each other. They were at each other's throats, but they got together. They made common cause, verse 2, against Yeshua and Israel. When the greater than Joshua came, I was reading this week, in fact, and I was just going through a gospel, and I read when the Herodian came, and the Herodians, and they tried to trick Jesus with a question. And when the Sadducees saw that they hadn't succeeded, the Sadducees came up with their own angle against Jesus. Now, those didn't get along. And when the Pharisees saw that the Herodians and the Sadducees had been silenced, the Pharisees joined in. These groups that were at enmity with one another, they made common cause against Jesus, Yeshua. In fact, Luke 23, you remember when they drug Jesus before Pilate and he said, I don't find any guilt in him. And he was sitting there in Jerusalem. And then he heard, is he a Galilean? Well, Herod's in town. He's under Herod's thing. And he delegated it to Herod. And the Bible specifically says that Pilate and Herod were at enmity with each other. They didn't like each other. So they drug Jesus before Herod because he happened to be down in Jerusalem at the time. And Herod, he made sport of Jesus. He mocked him. He put the robe on him and they spit on him and they whipped him, and blindfolded. Who hit you, you prophet? Tell us who, And that day, Luke records, Luke 23, Herod and Pilate became friends. Because before that, they'd been at enmity. I've seen that in the locker room. Have you? Men? Guys that don't know each other yet and they're not really sure and stuff. But boy, if they can just blaspheme the Savior's name, there's kind of a bond that unites them. You guys know what I'm talking about. Not just in the locker room, over coffee at work. Oftentimes that'll, you know, it's a sad thing. And of course today, whole nations that are at each other's throat in the Middle East, they have a common denominator. Hatred. You say they hate the United States. Yeah, I'm kind of watching it on the TV. And you say, well, maybe, but I don't think that's the common denominator. You say, really? Now, hatred. Some of those countries are more friendly than others to the USA. But our problem is that we happen to be allied with Israel. They hate Israel. And what should I say about Yeshua? Jesus Christ, when he claims to be the one and only, when he says there's no way to the Father but through me, he can't say that. And there is a hatred that unites much of the world, by the way, but you can see it within the nations. Well, Joshua was ready for this. Joshua's a general. God said, you're going to have to clean him out. And so when they came, you know, in, and they made the inscription, they united. Joshua's ready for this, but Joshua isn't ready for what happens next. Verse 3. The stratagem of Gibeon. That's what my Bible says. So I looked up stratagem. You know, you can see strategy behind it, you can see, but it's a plan or scheme to outwit opponents, cunning, deceptive. Have you ever been outwitted? I remember it was over 20 years ago, and I still remember. I don't remember all the details, but I remember being outwitted. I believe it was Monday, and I got a call. And a little bit of a Spanish, just a hint of a Spanish tone to the English, but Pastor Scott, and I said, yeah, you know, and I said, it was good talking with you yesterday, and I went, oh boy, who did I talk to yesterday? And my mind started sorting, you know, and then I said, yeah, and we're on the trip, and I thought, oh boy, I probably told him I'd pray for it, you know, and I can't even remember the trip they're talking about, and I'm feeling guilty, you know. And I said, yeah, but we're here. And I could tell they were here. I could hear on the phone, they're in the airport. I could hear the flight 73, you know, and I'm going, yeah, we're here at JFK. And I thought, JFK, where are they going? I'm sorting through my mind, you know, we're on our way to Brazil, I think it was. And, but we're running into a real snag, and we so appreciated your time with us yesterday. And I thought, yeah. And so I said, yeah, what do you need, you know? And they said they'd lost their identity or something, but they needed money and they needed it now or they were going to miss the flight and it was important. And I thought, and my guard kind of went up. I thought, money, what's the deal? But then they said, and I said, you know, I said, I got to be honest with you. I don't remember our conversation very well. I'm thinking, you know, and they said, well, you know, there at Highland Park, and it was when we were building this building over there, and we were at Highland Park, and I thought, yeah, and I'd met a lot of people that day, and I thought, and they said, we just so appreciate your support, and if you could just wire us, and I think they asked for $200, and so, and they said, it's got to be, we don't understand it, but you have to send it to, you know, and they gave me this complicated thing, and I said, is there any other way? Could we just make a phone call? No, they said, it's got to be now, so I wired the money, you know. And almost as soon as I did it and hung up, I thought, what just happened? And then I looked at my wife and she said, what just happened? But I had been outwitted. I don't know whether they were, you know, in Beaverton or in New York City, but they were going through the phone book and they saw we meet at Highland Park and they found that enough pastors are guilty enough about not remembering what they said on Sunday that if they hit enough calls, they'll get money wired to And they weren't in Beaverton. They may be at the Portland airport or maybe at the Phoenix airport for all I know, because I know they were in an airport. I could hear it. They outwitted me, and it was an elaborate disguise and deception to do it, because I've turned a lot of that kind of stuff down because I see through it. But they outwitted me, and I've never forgot it. Okay, have you ever been outwitted? When the inhabitants of Gibeon, verse 3, heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, the Gibeonites have a different strategy. Verse 4, they acted craftily and set out as envoys and took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins, worn out and torn and mended. They acted craftily. By the way, this is written for our instruction. We're not just learning, you know, about these ancient battles. There is one who acts craftily. He shows up on the second page of the Bible. He's more crafty than any other creature. They acted craftily. And they wore worn out and patched sandals on their feet and worn out clothes on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and had become crumbled. They had an elaborate disguise. There is one who disguises himself. And they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We've come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us." And it looked like they had come from a far country. I mean, everything's worn out. And the crumbs, you know, the fresh bread was long since crumbs and stuff. And the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you're living within our land. How then shall we make a covenant with you?" They remembered. They thought, yeah. What if you're living within our land? But they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." Then Joshua said to them, "Who are you? And where do you come from?" And they said to him, "Your servants have come from a very far country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we've heard the report of him, all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who is at Ashtaroth." And they had. By the way, they're acting craftily, they're disguised, and they're dealing in half-truths. They'd heard. They've heard of the mighty victories, just like Rahab and Jericho had.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled "The Stratagem of Gibeon," a message from Chapter 9 of the book of Joshua. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. On the front page of our website, you'll see a link to the Romans Project. We are very excited about the work God is doing through this ministry. We extend an invitation for you to learn more about it. Now, with nearly 14,000 pastors involved throughout 19 countries, including Liberia, Sierra Leone, Myanmar, and the Philippines, we've seen tremendous growth since the project's inception in 2005. To learn more, navigate to downtownbible.org or connect with us at facebook.com/Romans Project. Scott Gilchrist also leads a weekly Bible study in Portland, which shares the name of this radio program, Downtown Bible Class. 150 to 250 people meet every Wednesday at the Portland Art Museum for great teaching and a complimentary lunch buffet. A perfect break in the work week and an informal atmosphere where you can bring friends or coworkers and make new connections. Join us from 12:15 to 12:45 every Wednesday. Check us out at downtownbible.org for more information, or call us at 503-524-7000. Now, while it's our joy to present this radio program and the resources on our website completely free of charge, we do want to remind you there's a significant cost associated with this ministry. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider supporting us financially. It's through the generous contributions of our listeners that we're able to continue broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
And of course, Satan will lie overtime on the character of God. If you're suffering, two choices. Either God isn't good, or he wouldn't let this happen to you. And Christians start to go that route. Or he's hurting with you, and he knows how hard it is, and he can't do anything about it. He sees this stuff, and he's just as upset as you are, and he doesn't know what to do, and he can't do anything about it, really. That's a blasphemy of who God is. Satan deals in these kind of half-truths and half-lies all the time.
Join us again next time as we continue our study of the life of Joshua. Pastor Scott continues the message, The Stratagem of Gibeon. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.